And I had errors. Maybe I have errors still, but I believe God will reveal those to me. And so I look at other people who don't have the same doctrine I do, and it is heresy, and it's a sin. You know, I had sins too, including heresy. And I just trust that those who have faith in Christ truly, God will reveal the truth to them. Maybe through my Bible study, right? And so that his identity can become clear to us, so we can put our faith in the true and living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea. Because there are imaginary gods who we call by the name of God, who we call by the name of Jesus, who did not create the heavens and the earth. Because they are our own creations. They are things, figments of our own imagination that we have created and made partially out of his image. As far as the ideas we read in the scriptures, we have conjured up a mental image of what God is. At least, what I mean by that, like a logical, verbal image. God is this way. This is what God does. This is how God feels about this. This is how God feels about that. This is what God plans to do in the future. You know, all those things, when we say, oh, God, this guy, that, we're defining God. Defining God is central to preaching the gospel, because if you don't have him properly defined, your gospel's corrupt. Now, God sometimes winks at our ignorance. Thank God he does, because otherwise I would never have any hope of salvation. So I'm glad he does wink at our ignorance, but still, when the enlightenment comes, we need to take hold of it. And I believe that he puts that in us to know the truth and to take hold of it. You know, there were times in the past when the truth was preached to me and I did not hear it because the time had not come. So don't just write someone off just because they don't hear you. One sows, another waters, another reaps. There's different, you don't always see the work of God from beginning to end, but he sees it. So, the hour of God's judgment. Fear God. Glorify him. As I say before, worshiping God should have some sort of meaning. Glorifying God is not good enough to say, God, I glorify you. It is you I glorify, O God, creator of everything. Now, that's a fine way to start defining him. I mean, not that God ignores you, but what glorify? Glorify? How do you glorify? Say, it's so great. What he's done, and this is what he has done. He delivered me from sin and iniquity, this sin and this iniquity. The more specific, the more glorious. Meaning, you know, when you talk about his great and wonderful works, it's not say, oh, what great and wonderful works you've done. You know, he suffered on the cross. His hands took the spikes. His heels pierced his side. His mouth dried, suffering. You know what he did for me? Oh, what a wretch I was. You know, all the tears shed to be delivered, and no deliverance. But then when the deliverance came, how glorious it was. How thankful I am. God is to be feared, because God is God. You don't understand, he's the maker of all things. He made us. He can unmake us. Our salvation is entirely dependent on him. He says, I'll save you. Put your faith in me. We put our faith in him, and that, we're just stepping out there, saying, yeah, we'll take your word for it. You're not just going to smash us all. You look at Peter walking on the water. I mean, there's an example of our faith and our walk. He walked on the water with him. Everything around him that he ever knew in life was telling him, you are dead meat. The sea and the waves are roaring about you. Peter was a fisherman, so he'd been out on water. And he knew, I shouldn't be out here. I can't walk on water. Yet he was walking on water. But then he looked and he feared. He began to sink. And God pulled him up. Why'd you doubt? Well, we do doubt, and he's still there to pull us out. But ultimately, we want to get to the point where we don't doubt, where we truly trust him through all the troubles. I mean, God has taught me to walk on the water. I don't know if I'm very good at it yet, but I've seen the principle in my life. were all the times when I feared bad things going to happen to me, instead of just putting my trust in him and realizing that, hey, he has work for me to do. Look at what he's done to change my life, and he's bringing me forward. So I put my faith in him because I fear him. Because I know what he's capable of, for good and for bad. It doesn't necessarily mean, oh, I'm just afraid he's going to hurt me. No, I fear him because you know why? I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to have those moments. I mean, I'll have them in life. I do. I have moments in life where I'm ashamed. And why? Well, because like Peter. You know, here he was, oh, Lord, I'll walk on the water with you. And he comes out and then he's, I'm sinking. It's embarrassing. I don't want to continually do that to God. I fear him. I fear him even chiding me. I want to learn. I don't want to be pig-headed. I don't want to be this pig-headed servant or disciple or child who can never learn his lessons. And I think the most pertinent lessons are lessons about faith, putting our trust in him, in spite of all the things in the world that we see around us that are contrary. If I didn't have self-control, well, and I'd been like that my whole life, not the way I wanted to be self-controlled. Well, that would make you think like, well, I lack self-control. I can't change. How can you, if you don't have self-control, how can you make yourself be that way? But to have faith that God can make you be any way he wants you to be. And he says he wants you to be self-controlled. So he can do it. That's why we put our faith in him. And we fear him because I don't want him to say, oh, ye of little faith. Why could you not watch with me 1 hour? Why did you doubt? I don't want him to say that to me. So I fear him in that way too. It's not the same kind of fear like, oh, he's going to destroy me. No, no, no. I don't want to disappoint him. I'm afraid. Because I have a great deal of respect for God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I've seen all the ways in which I've disappointed him, or he would have been disappointed if I could have seen him to the face. But the thing is, we don't see him, so sometimes it's easy to just sort of blow it off. And no, he sees. And it's a pity sometimes that we can't see him, but maybe it's also a mercy. Because the shame would be very difficult to bear. God is going to judge. The hour of his judgment has come, it says. You know, Jesus said, you judge after the flesh, I judge no man. But yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. Christ in his first advent did not come to judge. But when he returns, he will come to judge. He will come with judgment. In righteousness he doth judge and make war.